Falls, Rock City. What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Greetings, everybody.
And Andrew's out of town because it's Easter. Today is Easter when we're recording. So with me, from Music the Lifeblood, we have Dustin Lytle.
I want to put my log in your fireplace.
Nice. Very good. You carry it on the tradition. Very good. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Feeling all right.
Yeah, all right. Cool. That's good to hear. In case you guys have never listened to this show before, we are a KISS, all KISS podcast, and we are just usually just three dudes sitting around giving our opinions on our favorite band, which is probably your favorite band because you're listening. Anyway, this week in the news, not a whole lot happening. A few things. Ace is doing interviews all over the place because of his new record. And I want you guys to go to AOL.com and just type in Ace Frehley and then watch his interview. It was hysterical because, if you guys haven't seen it, when he, the commentator will ask him a question, and Ace will answer it, and you know how he laughs at the end of, so many of his own statements, right?
Right.
So the guy will say something, he'll laugh, and then look at the crowd, and they're like, nothing. It's almost like, ba-dum-tsh, you know? And what he's saying is funny to him, you know? But if the crowd was laughing, I didn't hear it at all, you know? And then at one point, the guy is asking him questions. And this is probably about the fourth or fifth question. Ace is looking at the crowd and answering and looking at the guy on the stage with him and answering. And finally, the guy asks a question. He goes, who do you want me to talk to, you or them? He goes, I'm getting confused. I don't know who to talk to. And it was really funny. You know, it was pretty interesting because, they talked about the record. He did try to get Gene on the new record. Did you guys hear that?
Yes.
He said that he sent Gene a message and that Gene didn't get back to him at all. He said he must have been busy. And then the crowd kind of booed.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. But he said, I'll get him on volume 2, and the crowd kind of cheered. And then he talked about singing, and then he said that he feels like he's become a very good singer. And he goes, all the years of singing, I think I'm really starting to get better at it. And I was thinking,
give him some credit. I don't think he's near as bad as what.
No, he doesn't suck or anything, but I don't think he's gotten any better since like his 78 record.
Right. Which, yeah. I mean, he's pretty decent on
the
solo stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that, you know, it's like Jody and I were talking about, he talks his lyrics more than he sings it, you know?
Right.
But God love Ace, right?
He puts a lot of character into it. But I think most people want to hear him play guitar more than they want to hear him sing. That's how I feel.
Right. No, it's true.
P.S. I finally heard that Parasite, Joe.
And?
I didn't like it, man. I just didn't like it at all.
Why not?
Well, you know, his vocal is one thing, and then, I don't know, man. I didn't like, I don't know who did the second, solo, but it was fucking horrible, and I don't think it was Ace, you know what I mean?
It's John 5.
John 5.
Rob Zombie and Marilyn Manson.
I'll go on record as saying it. You put me on that record, I'll shred one way better than John 5's. I swear to God I will. I'm serious.
No, I believe you.
I think his was weak, dude. I would have cut it if I was producing that record for sure. I would have just left Aces, and then that would have been that.
Yeah, they had extra long. I have sent a request in to their to his record company for a copy, so hopefully we'll get it before it comes out, you know. But the only thing, I didn't like how he raised his pitch in his voice when he sang the song.
I was totally thinking about how you in the talk to me thing.
Talk to me?
I just didn't dig it, man. I'm excited to hear the actual covers, but the KISS ones, not so much.
Well, I'm going, I got 2 weeks I got a week from Tuesday, and then I go see him here in Atlanta. Finally, he's going to be here.
Right.
With Jeff Tate from Queensryche.
It's killer live, but it's a totally different scenario than a record, you know.
And I can tell you that the place that he's playing here is a little bigger than the places I've been seeing video. Dustin, has he come to your town?
No. No. It's been a long time since he's been anywhere near here.
God, he did come to your town, Jody. You went and saw him.
Yeah, that was like in September, I think. It was pretty fucking awesome, dude. He kicked ass and sounded great in his vocals, too. But like you say, live is a totally different animal. Right. Everybody's so hyped up and singing with him and all that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really hope that he comes here, that, you know, he just blows it out. And I hope he's not late or anything, because I've heard some stories about him being late.
He was late at my gig.
If John Astronomy's with him, he's going to be on time. John makes the Fraley wheels roll.
Right. But he was there in St. Louis, and they went on like about an hour late, which wasn't that bad, but still.
And this is general admission, this place. So
get there early, weasel your way up.
Yeah, I'll take plenty of video and plenty of pictures, and I might even do a, Periscope.
That'd be cool.
From the show. And just so everybody that follows us can see what's going on. And it'll sound like this. And I'll be going, I'm having a great time.
Hey, did you see the Opie and Anthony Ace interview from like last week by chance?
No, I didn't. Tell me about it.
A lot of the same stories, but he made them look up. You know how we talked about that Epic Tales of Rock or whatever? Ace was telling Opie and Anthony or Jim Norton about it or whatever, so they Googled it up and they all watched it together. It was pretty funny.
The video of Ace banging the chick while watching the TV and seeing the girl he's banging on the TV. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. Awesome. It was a good interview. A lot of the same shit he's kind of doing the circuit and, you know, talking about all the same shit. He talked about Gene, he talked about Ball, you know what I mean? Same old, but it was pretty cool.
You know, I was listening. I know that we're kind of all over the place today, but we're having fun, and that's what matters. Today I recorded the whole Black Box interviews. You know, for the solo albums. Have you ever heard that, Dustin?
Yeah, I have. I had that solo album CD package. It has all four, and then it's got those interviews in it for a long time. I bought it when I was in high school. Haven't listened to it in a long time, but yeah,
Well, one of the things that I noticed on there was a few different things. One was when Gene was talking about how they all had taken off time to do these records, and that what they didn't know was that they were also going to be doing a tour, and they had a double album coming out that had all original music.
Right.
But I don't remember ever hearing about that other than then. We never saw it, right?
Definitely never saw it.
I mean,
that he might have been talking about double platinum. That's possible.
No, because he's saying all new original music.
Oh, yeah. All new original. Okay.
Yeah, that's what he said. The other thing was where Peter said, now, of course, this is before Phantom came out. So he said, you know, we've got the TV special coming out. He goes, but we're getting ready to start filming a full-on movie, and we're going to do the soundtrack, you know, like A Hard Day's Night. And I was like, wow, that didn't happen either. But I thought it was really interesting that they were talking about it in these, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I thought it was weird they were talking about disco to Peter, and this is before the solo albums even came out.
Yeah, and he was talking about how
there's a need, you know, to make a change, man, you know?
Yeah. So funny.
Did you ever, for all those listeners, you can go check out my interview with Kiss. It's called, I did the interview for the Black Box episode thing.
Nice.
And it's episode, like, I don't know, it's called Time Travel Interviews. Check it out on Strange Ways.
Strange Ways. What did you do? Put your voice into the...
No, I did the same thing. I did it like an interview like they were supposed to do in the 70s. You know, I asked the questions, they answered them. It's cool.
That is awesome.
You never heard that one? It was like a couple years ago.
I'm going to download it tonight. What are you kidding me?
I think it's
me?
Like episode 15, maybe. It's called Time Travel Interviews. Check it out. It's awesome.
I haven't heard of that. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I just figured, Dustin, you know, let's do it.
No, I think it's killer. Let me tell you, the first time I ever heard Jody was I was just discovering Kiss podcasts, and I downloaded. I tell this story all the time, so Jody's like, "Oh, Joe,"
right.
But I downloaded this episode, and it's him and his boys, and they're all talking. And I'm walking through Walmart grocery shopping at like 2 a.m. And he's talking about how some guy told him that Kiss sucks or something, so he beat his ass. And I was just hysterical.
He called me and all my Kiss Army buddies a bunch of faggots. And I'm like, what? So he had to pay for that comment.
I was like, oh man, I love these guys.
I don't condone violence, but you're not going to call me out for liking a band and think that it's just I'm just going to bitch out. Never going to happen.
And that's an awful word too.
I know. I was like, what? Oh, dude. I'm not a violent person, but he had it coming after that bullshit. You feel me?
It's just so awesome. Anyway, so, all right. So, the extra things, basically, this is my segue. So, we've got the black box thing, and they're talking about extra things that Kiss was going to be doing. You know, Peter even mentions, he goes, we're like the Beatles. He made sure that he put the distinction in that we're not musicians like the Beatles, but our band is a phenomenon like the Beatles to the point where we could sell lunchboxes and, you know, all that other stuff. You know, all those extracurricular things that Kiss was able to do. Now, what I wanted to talk about today was Gene's extracurricular activities. Do you think... exactly. Do you think... that let's start with his movies. You know, he never got any kind of critical acclaim, even though I personally love Runaway. I love Wanted Dead or Alive. I think he was very good in both of those movies. As an adult, it's harder to watch, you know. But, you know, when you watch Wanted Dead or Alive, you know, there's that scene where, you know, he's coming out of the movie theater after placing the bomb in there, and there's a little girl coming, walking in, holding like, the teddy bear, and he pats her on the head. He knows he's about to kill her. And I was always like, man, he plays a bad guy really well.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Do you think that Gene doing the movies – in the end, do you think he just had to do them to do them? Or do you think that he maybe thought, I'm going to become, you know, Oscar worthy eventually? Or do you think that it was just something that, you know, or do you think it was a failure for him? That's a lot of questions. I'm sorry.
I think it's generally a fail. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't get any acclaim. None of those movies really did that well. But I do like him in Trick or Treat.
What's he say? That wasn't very nice, Ramsey.
Ramsey.
here's my thing about all the stuff that Gene has done. Okay. Most of it sucks.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And as unfortunate as that is, but I do think at the time, I think he was probably genuinely concerned about making sure he had a career.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Plan B, right?
Right. I'm a big advocate for 1980 to 1994 Kiss. That's what I'm going to lean towards the most. But the bottom line is that it was really struggling, you know, from a, you know, high watermark standpoint. You know, the band had kind of, quote unquote, fallen from grace in a way. And I think he was more worried about making sure that he had a paycheck coming in.
I think you're right, man.
Do you think that the 80s lacked, I mean, it just wasn't, Kiss wasn't as good in the 80s. Do you think it just depends on who you talk to, of course. But do you think it's because it was all thrown on Paul, and that's really hard to do when you're in a band like Kiss? You know, in Paul's book, he was pretty pissed off at this point on Gene, you know?
Sure.
Right. You know what I think is, I think that since it did fall on Paul, if he wouldn't have had to let Gene do his 3 or 4 songs on the record, the 80s might have been a lot more successful for Kiss, because Paul was writing good songs and, you know, for the most part, Gene wasn't. You know what I mean? I mean, I like a lot of those songs, you know, but in general, I think Paul was way better as far as his songs in that period.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then, you know, Gene's like, I gotta have my songs, even though Paul, like, thought they all sucked, you know? So I think that if...
He did.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Burn, Bitch, Burn is still one of my all-time favorite Kiss songs. I can't...
I love that one, too, man. I think we're
well,
in the minority.
Well, yeah, they're not all bad, but, you know, as far as, like, the quality... Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta watch out, because you know we'll all start singing the music here. I personally did Parasite all by myself a couple weeks ago.
It was badass. It was like an Axl Rose whistling it. It's cool.
So now, of course, when he started managing bands, right? That so let's see. The, from my memory, I'm just going by memory. I'm not wicked dicking it or anything like that. He started with it wasn't Loudness, right? It was Keel.
Yeah, Keel.
Keel.
So Keel, Ron Keel in the band, that was his first thing. And they had that one semi-hit, right? You know, The Right to Rock.
I never liked Keel at all.
he's a country Keel, singer now.
Keel went country, right?
yeah, he did. But, you know, they had that, you know, he had a pretty powerful voice, but, you know, it was, you know, I don't know.
Stop.
It's like... It was stock, yeah.
A lot of those bands just sucked, man. Let's just be real about it. They're horrible.
Should he have, you know, he shouldn't have, I mean, like Dustin said, he was trying to make sure he had a paycheck coming in, but should he have just gone, look, I'm Gene fucking Simmons. I have time for this. I can do, I'm going to focus on this until it's dead and buried before I go, you know, because once Kiss, even if Kiss died, he still would have walked in somewhere and goes, I know, you know, I still can manage a band. I could still start a label. He had the money, you know.
I don't think he could manage a band for shit.
Really? well,
I don't know how else to say it. Like, what is it? Gypsy Rose, House of Lords.
Sure,
Keel,
but see,
Cobra
that's
and the Lotus.
That I know, I get what you're saying, but still, what I'm saying is if he hadn't have done all that, he still could have at the end of his Kiss career because he could have walked in and said, "I have a name." You know, obviously, he didn't work out as management, but
right.
But if he had skipped all that, if he had not done that, and just done Kiss until it. Either they stopped or it ran into the ground or whatever, he could have had a career after, you know, something. Right. You know, we constantly see, you know, where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, these people aren't around and all of a sudden, boom, they reinvent themselves. You know, and I know it's acting, but look at John Travolta, man. We didn't see him in anything. All of a sudden, Pulp Fiction, he became popular and famous again. He was in everything. You know, Gene Simmons.
So you're just saying from a long-term standpoint, at the end of the road, on star power alone, he has an opportunity that after Kiss calls it a day, he could have probably moved on to something successful.
Right. Had he not already and done it in the middle of
right
of what Paul was trying to do with Bruce and Eric, okay. You know?
Yeah, I get it. I get that.
But I think Dustin's right on the money. Like, Gene... Once they took the makeup off, he really didn't feel like he fit in the band anymore. You know what I mean? His character was gone. He didn't know how to act or what to do. So I think Dustin's completely right. He's looking for other avenues. He's looking for something else because he felt like Kiss isn't going to work without the demon, you know?
Right.
I can't be this mod. It just doesn't work.
See, what I wanted, my dream scenario would have been that Gene Simmons leaves after Creatures of the Night. And then Sean Beauvoir comes in and is Kiss's bass player.
Yeah.
I think that would have been absolutely incredible.
That definitely would have been a great songwriting pair with Paul.
Yeah, I think that would have been amazing. And then if he wants to come back for the reunion, okay, but I'm still going to sit that out. I didn't want to see the reunion happen anyway. So, but I think I get what Joe's getting at. It makes sense. Had he done some things differently, I don't know that had he left Kiss at the point he did, he would have been. I don't know if the acting thing would have worked, but if he would have stayed focused on Kiss all the way up through, say, the mid '90s, early 2000s, and he said, "Okay, I'm done," he probably would have moved on to doing like corporate lectures on how to make money and stuff like that. I don't see him at that point in his career and his life then moving on to acting. I think he'd just be kind of like a mogul. He'll just talk about how to make money.
Well, you know, yeah. But still, there's money in that. Ask Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner. That's what he does or she does. And he's worth millions and millions just for walking up and saying, I made millions and this is from being positive and you can be positive. And, you know, that's Bruce Jenner's, you know, cash. So Gene could have done that. But also, do you think – now, this is going back to Paul's book, you know – Paul had mentioned to Gene that he wanted to do some acting. Gene wasn't interested. Next thing you know, boom, Gene's doing acting. And Paul thought it was I kind of got a little hint of jealousy out of Paul during that part, you know, because it seemed like that was what he wanted to do. And then he gave up on it. And then Gene went ahead and got movies and got TV. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Do you think that... I mean, he couldn't have done the acting later, right? He'd been too old to play somebody like, you know,
Ragnar?
Runaway. Yeah.
All in his fucking lingerie and shit.
Yeah, oh my God, that was terrible.
He definitely couldn't pull that off anymore.
No.
That'd be amazing if he did, though. That'd be absolutely incredible.
It would have been.
But let me ask you this. Okay, suppose Gene was never, ever even in Kiss. I don't think he would have made it as an actor, do you? Like, his whole thing was, oh, he's Gene Simmons from Kiss, because he's not that good of an actor, I don't feel like. What do you think? He never was in Kiss. Would he have made it as an actor?
I don't know. I don't necessarily even think he's a bad actor. I think he's just been in shitty movies.
Yeah, that's part of it, for sure.
You know... He could be of like Ian McKellen, Anthony Hopkins proportion, you know, megalodon actor kind of guy. He could be possibly the greatest actor that ever lived, but if you're in shitty movies, it's not going to showcase what you can do. But I always go back to Trick or Treat.
That's the one.
And even as small of a part in Trick or Treat he had, I thought he did a really good job.
He's definitely good in Trick or Treat.
He sold the part really well. His reactions to Mark Price in those scene or a couple scenes, whatever it is, he was really good. I thought he was great.
Agreed.
Yeah, and you know, he played a preacher in The New Guy. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but he has one. And The New Guy, it's about this kid that he's bullied at one high school, and he goes ahead and gets himself arrested, and he goes to a completely different school in a different county to make himself more badass. And so he's learning in jail how to be a badass. At one point, he's walking through the mall, and Gene is dressed like a preacher with this like whole singing choir around him. And they're doing this like revival at the mall. It's the funniest thing. I remember being like, damn, that's Gene with his hair and a ponytail, you know?
It's crazy.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's one of those things you didn't even hear about until it was, you know.
I read somewhere that he did an episode of King of the Hill, even.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember ever hearing his voice, because I've watched a lot of those episodes.
Well, what about the movie that Ace did? You guys know about that, right?
Where he's like some kind of dealer or something?
Yeah, yeah.
I only watched a couple parts of it. I never seen the whole thing.
You think he was a pimp?
I think he was a pimp. I remember he had a leather jacket on. Maybe I'm making an assumption that all pimps wear leather jackets. So.
Well, when I wear my leather jacket, it's because I'm pimping out some chicks.
Me too, dude.
That's the truth.
The Ramones were the king pimps.
It's the truth. I'm wearing my leather jacket to my girlfriend's house tomorrow. Look out. I need money.
Bitch better have my money.
Right now, she's shaking her head going, what the hell?
Here's what I think the issue with Gene Simmons is. And I would say this is symptomatic of his entire career. The man tries to do too many things at once, all of the time.
Right.
And
man of a thousand faces.
Yeah, I get whatever you want to call it. I feel like if he concentrated 100% on one thing, you know, for if Creatures of the Night came out and he was like, okay, I'm done. and then just solely concentrated on acting, he could be of like John Stamos proportions. You know what I mean? had he stayed in focused in Kiss and not split his attention between movies and the band, we probably wouldn't have crappy songs like Lonely as the Hunter. We would probably have, you know, I don't know. I think if you look at it from that sense, I don't think Gene has ever been a very strong songwriter. I think he's struck the iron when it's been hot on a few occasions, but overall, I think he's probably the weaker, one of the weaker songwriters in the band.
Yeah, wow. I think that he was strong up through the original six records, though, like through Love Gun. I like all of his songs. But after that, I don't know.
Well, if you look at it, when he just focused on Kiss, that's when they were the biggest band in the world, you know?
Sure.
But once he strayed away, you know, look, Dynasty, love it or hate it, and most people love it, it was a very big record, you know? So even though it was different than what everybody, you know, or a lot of people wanted, it still gave them success. Not necessarily live, you know, it seemed like the crowds, I think were dwindling at this point, you know, but yeah.
That success was like a double-edged sword for them, though, because a bunch of people bought the record, but when they heard it is when they kind of lost everybody, you know?
Right. And then, you know, after, you know, we know everything that came after that, you know, but I always liked, you know, I don't know. Gene couldn't do acting with the makeup on. Because if he took it off, then it was, you know, oh my God, there's Gene Simmons without his makeup. So obviously they couldn't do that, you know. And then, you know, I don't know. I started thinking about Gene today because I've been listening to Paul's album, you know, and he pulls no punches when it comes to Gene, you know, which is the reason why I like his book, because it feels, if he's willing to be that honest about somebody that I perceive as his best friend, partner, you know what I mean?
Right.
Then the chances are that it's more truthful than the others. You guys agree with that?
I've always thought of Paul as probably the most truthful dude in Kiss.
Yeah, I guess. I think Paul is more overtly critical of the people around him than any other of the people that have ever been in the band. I think he's very critical of people that he gets into bed with, quote unquote. You know,
right.
I hope that makes sense. But I think Paul holds grudges.
Oh, for
and,
sure.
He does. I think he does not let go of stuff very easily, and I think that shows in the way that he talks and he reminisces about Gene and Gene's input in the band and things like that. I feel like if you were to be inside of Paul Stanley's head, you would start to get the impression that Paul feels a little holier than thou when it comes to Gene, because I maintained rock godlike status this entire time when you were unable to, sort of thing.
No, I get that, but I think maybe, you know, when I think about it too, sometimes I feel like, For lack of a better way to say this, I feel like sometimes when he's talking about it, I almost feel like he was brokenhearted. Like, you know, here we are, we did this, we had this dream together, you know, we went and we did it, and man, together we did this great thing, and now we're still doing this great thing, and you're over here cheating on me with, you know, these people, you know, I would, you know what I'm saying? And Paul is definitely, or was, I don't know if he is anymore, according to his book, he's not. He was definitely an outsider. He was definitely, I had few friends, I had few people that liked me, you know, I was Stanley the monster, you know?
Totally.
So once he had, you know, so it's just like any, and it's almost childlike, I guess. You know, you have a friend, or how about a best friend, and then he meets a girl, and now all of a sudden he's spending time with that girl, you get mad, you know? You're like, sure. No, but dude, what about coming over and playing Super Mario Brothers today? That's what we're supposed to do. But instead, you know, you're kissing that girl and I'm not invited. So I get, you know, I don't know. It seems it's, you know, because Paul, you know, at this point, you know, I've seen him on, he's done some acting, right?
A little bit.
Yeah, I remember he was on the Chris Isaac show a few times.
It was in that episode of Millennium, right? But I think they all were.
They all were, yeah. But Chris Isaac, that's the guy that sang that song, I Don't Want to Fall in Love, right? That really sexy tune.
Wicked Game.
Wicked Game, yeah. Right. So he had a TV show on like Showtime or something, and he played himself, and Paul was on it a few times. And then somebody told me that there's some TV show about the Foo Fighters, I think, and he's been on it a few times as well.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Apparently, he drives his kids to school, you know, at the same time as what's-his-face from the Foo Fighters. Yeah, Dave Grohl. The guy who saved rock and roll.
Yeah.
So I say that because of Jody. He takes it personally.
I fucking hate the Foo Fighters. I don't care. They suck.
But Dave Grohl said that, you know, sometimes they both have to do the school duty where they have to open the car doors for people.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine pulling up and Dave Grohl and Paul Stanley are like, hey, good morning. Did you get your breakfast? Yeah. Paul Stanley's like, I made a great Brussels sprout last night. You should try it. And maybe a pizza that I made. And the meatballs are great with family.
Like, right.
It's just, that would be surreal. But, you know, so Paul's done his own things now. And I guess at this point in his career, he's like, well, fuck it. Right? You know, he's like, I've done everything I want to do. I don't know. I don't know what his dream was in the 80s. Was his dream that they could get back to where they were, you know, in the 70s?
Okay. I have something to say about this. We were talking about this on an episode of the Music the Lifeblood podcast a while back. When MTV happened, it breathed life into a lot of bands from the 70s that probably otherwise wouldn't have had a lot of life left in them. A good example, maybe David Bowie, Heart, you know, Whitesnake, bands like that. They got almost like a second wind. And right. I think Kiss for sure was one of those bands. If you look at, you know,
Lick It Up, dude, all day long.
Yeah, Lick It Up, Tears Are Falling, got a lot of airplay and video play, things like that. And I think, had I been in Paul Stanley's shoes at that point, I would have saw that as, this is our second chance to get our shit together and get back on top of the mountain.
Right.
And at that point, they probably saw themselves as seasoned veterans, because you look at 1987, okay? We have Hysteria and we have Slippery When Wet are the albums at that point, right?
Right.
And then what's Kiss doing at that time? Crazy Nights, right?
Right.
Right.
Crazy Nights had the kind of Bon Jovi machine behind it with Ron Nevison exactly. and some of those management people. And I think that's kind of how they saw the so-called Kiss State of the Union. This is our opportunity. This is our time to grab our second wind, and we can get back, you know, get back on the horse, so to speak. And in that sense, I think there's probably a lot of frustration when you look at, when you compare to albums sold, Hysteria to Crazy Nights, which one wins by literally millions.
Right.
Right.
Hysteria beats the pants off of anything Kiss did through the 80s. And I think there's probably some frustration in that. And when you talk about Paul Stanley, about the way that he feels or the way that he reacts to the people around him, especially in the band, if I was Paul, I would be pissed off at Gene, because it would probably have, on one hand, if you had been contributing 100%, this could be better. But on the other hand, had you not been contributing this 50% half-assed bullshit, it would probably still be better.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of a lose-lose situation in that regard. So,
totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul has every right to be pissed, you know? His partner's just, like, off fucking off while they got this big chance to come back to the 78 glory days, you know?
Right. And you know, obviously, the makeup came off for MTV. I mean, it's, you know, they had a video, it wasn't getting played. You know, I Love It Loud was, you know, for Kiss fans, a popular song. But still, you know, they if they would have put Kiss, I don't know. I think one of the appeals to MTV, of course, was the fact that you saw your favorite band. You know, it wasn't just a radio, you know?
Yeah, MTV right. was a game changer, dude. It became the radio that the whole fucking country was watching the same 10 videos all day long. And so if you were lucky enough to get on there, that was like a huge door to be opened for bands, you know?
Right. Right. And Kiss, I mean, regardless, Kiss didn't look like those other bands at that time, too. So I think the cards were stacked to him in that regard. You could tell Kiss is noticeably older than Def Leppard and Bon Jovi and Motley Crue and bands like that. They're visibly, those guys are older, you know. And what's the worst thing you can do to a teenager is try to convince them that an old guy is hip. You know right. what I mean?
Right. You know, that's why the songs for the videos I always thought were pretty good, you know, but that's why there was girls. Always girls in the videos because right. that's the boys are going to stop and watch it, you know?
Right, right.
You know, that's why I watched it. You know, I love Kiss, but I was always like, see that girl in the back in the Who Wants to Be Lonely video? I swear to God, I will love that woman till the day I die.
Oh my God, no.
It's awful, isn't it? Anyway, I have now had two people send me like what do you call it, gifs, it's a
gif. Yeah,
yeah, where it's just that girl for like 3 seconds over and over again.
That's awesome.
We love our fans, the podcast Rock City and Music the Lifeblood. By the way, tell them how they can hear you, Dustin.
Music the Lifeblood, the podcast, iTunes, Stitcher. We're hosted on SoundCloud, so if you do SoundCloud, you can find us on there. Just search Music the Lifeblood, or you can watch Music the Lifeblood, the YouTube series. I do a weekly series talking about collecting records, album reviews, just kind of bitching about stuff that's bothering me in the music industry, and you can find that just YouTube Music the Lifeblood. You'll find it real quick.
Yeah, and it's very good. And, you know, Jody is always saying, you know, Dustin is like my brother.
Like, we like a lot of the same guys, shit, so you know that dude's cool.
Yeah, it's
cut,
really, it's
cut
really,
from the same cloth, right?
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, so what did we decide about this? Gene Simmons fucked up kid. Okay.
He did, though, I mean, in a way. Because, like Dustin said, man, if he would have given his all, it would have been better. And if he wasn't on there and had more Paul songs, it would have been better. So
if he would have gotten out of the way. And I'm a big advocate of I'm a Sean Beauvoir or Jean Beauvoir advocate. I feel like had Jean Beauvoir been the bass player of Kiss, I think the 80s would have went in a drastically different direction.
Huh. Definitely drastically different.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think a lot of people, though, think of Kiss as Gene and Paul. You got to have them both, I think.
See, I don't.
No?
I don't. I think overall, Gene's input is so much weaker compared to Paul's.
Totally. And
especially when you look at it over a 40-year period of time. But if you go album to album, yeah, there's definitely some high points that Gene was involved in. You know, Deuce is amazing. Two-Timer, Ladies in Waiting. You know what I mean? All those songs are really, really great, but in my opinion, stuff started to noticeably decline by the time Love Gun had came out, as far as Gene's writing and contributions go.
Right. I feel like Love Gun was probably his last really strong record. After that, like, I see a big change.
Yeah.
I think it's just the fame, you know? Like, he was so fucking, his ego, and he has so much ego, and they got so huge that he was like, you know, rubbing elbows with celebrities and dating Diana Ross. It just changes. He changed, you know?
Yeah, and look at his solo album. When he put his solo album on it, it was all about the names on the record more totally. Than the songs itself. Although he seemed really happy with the solo album, you know? He did what he wanted to do, but, but you know, it was, you know, he even made sure that he mentioned I was supposed to have Paul McCartney on, but Paul didn't happen. You know,
right.
You know, so I had, you know, Beatlemania guys.
Totally.
All right. Well, that was pretty good. That was a good discussion. I think that you guys are going to send us emails and tell us how we're fucking wrong. And Paul, but you know, that's the point. That's the thing about our show. You know, everybody's opinion and it matters. And we, you know, ultimately we started off in three different places and we all wound up in the same place. And that's, you know, why we have the discussions. So, listen, Andrew's not here. So there's no Ask Andrew today, but we do have Jody's Song of the Week.
All right.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. And tell them what it is, Jody.
I picked an unmasked one because I know you like unmasked just as much as I do.
I do.
And this time I went for What Makes the World Go Round. Nice.
Yes.
Killer, underrated Kiss tune, in my opinion. What do you guys think about it?
The guitar solo on that song is badass.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I love that whole record, so I'm never afraid to admit that, you know?
It's like Kiss does Blue Eyed Soul. With a little bit of power pop. It's pretty groovy.
Yeah, I love Unmasked. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, it's one of the most underrated Kiss records of them all, I think. Oh, no, Peter. Oh, sorry,
your cat. Peter Chris the cat.
He's like, stay off of this shit, dude. I'm trying to do something here.
It's like one of my favorite episodes is when I heard in the background, fuck off, Peter. I was like, that must be like when what it was like when they were in rehearsals.
Right.
So, all right, so right here we're going to listen to Found Out, What Makes the World Go Round, Jody's Song of the Week.
Dig it.
Drag
You know, personally, that's one of the best songs on Unmasked. What do you guys think?
I believe so.
Cool.
I like Easy As It Seems a lot.
I do too.
I mean, we've had discussions about that record. Like I said, it's just underrated, I think. You know, it was Kiss, you know, doing good stuff.
Bow, 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 bow,
yeah. Bow, bow, bow. What about I love Torpedo Girl. The bass line.
Two Sides of the Coin is on Unmasked, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, it is literally it's simultaneously the lamest and best part of the album when Ace says, "Choose one."
Choose one.
Hell yeah. Choose one.
What about Tomorrow? That's my shit.
Yeah, Tomorrow. Yeah, see? Let's all go now. When we get done with this episode, we're all going to go listen to Unmasked and go, "Yeah, it's my jam."
Oh yeah. I think I told you. Did I tell you this story when I was a kid and I put on this like fake lip sync thing to Tomorrow for these girls? Did I tell you about that?
No, but no, you me must and my tell friends
it
now.
Made it was kind of like the Imposters with KST. We made these. I didn't even have a guitar yet, and so we made these fake guitars. And I brought my little boombox up to this stage, like in this park, and we invited these three girls, and I played Tomorrow, and we like basically lip synced it for these chicks, and you know, made asses of ourselves more or less.
That's awesome, man. I never did anything like that. I don't think I know that I lip synced a song for a camp that I was in, and it was from the movie Love at First Bite.
Okay.
some disco tune, but no Kiss.
Yeah.
That was my thing. I'm gonna go lip sync some Kiss and take the video and send it to you guys tonight.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah, it'll be good too.
To read my body.
Oh, I don't think so. Okay, so anyway, Dustin, one more time, tell everybody how they can come in and listen to you guys.
Music the Lifeblood is on SoundCloud. We're hosted on SoundCloud. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, all the places that you get podcasts. You can find it on there. Just search Music the Lifeblood. We're on YouTube. The actual series, it's called Vinyl Thursday. Comes out every Thursday. Talk about album reviews, what's bothering me, what I think is great, what I think is awful, new records, all kinds of stuff like that. Just YouTube, Music the Lifeblood, Vinyl Thursday, you'll find it.
Well, thank you for coming on with us. It was short notice, man. I was just bullshitting with you, and then I said, "What are you doing tonight?" And it just worked out great for us.
I'm a versatile guy.
Yeah, I know you are. And when you listen to his show, you'll know that as well. It's really good. Anyway, thank you very much. Jody, you have anything to add?
Say thanks for listening. Happy Easter. And we miss you, Andrew. And thanks for being on as well, Dustin. Always a pleasure.
Andrew did apologize for not being here. He sent me a message and said, "Please tell everybody I'm sorry I'm not there." It's a holiday. We know how that goes.
Right.
Dustin, you have anything to add?
Go listen to Unmasked.
There you go.
Right now.
Right now.
It's great.
Push stop. Go put on the record.
Absolutely. And I say this every week, but we are big podcast fans, and we listen to a ton of them, and we have their commercials. Even Dustin's commercial is right after this show, and you're going to hear them all in 3, 2, 1.
Peace.
Greetings from Jindal Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party, and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros, where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening, and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f- oh, f- Lee, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
Kiss podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Hey, this is Nick, co-host of the Pod of Thunder, the only Kiss podcast that breaks down the entire Kiss song catalog one track at a time. Every week, we have a new song chosen at random, and we do our best to analyze it. We talk about Kiss-related topics and non-Kiss-related topics, all the while trying not to kill each other. If you like the sound of that, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and especially on iTunes. Pod of Thunder!
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.